I was channel surfing the other day, and I stumbled across a bullfight. And I just was intrigued by bullfighting. We've all learned and know about bullfighting and seen it on television and whatnot. Perhaps some of you, how many of you ever been to a real bullfight? Yes, there's a couple of folks that have been to Mexico, perhaps, or to Spain. And I was just intrigued watching the Matador, and I saw that little clip on YouTube, and I thought it would be a good lead-in to my message today. Bullfighting has been going on in Latin America and Spain for centuries. In bullfighting, there are several people involved, not just the matador that you saw there. As I understand it, the first folks that come out to spear the bull are called the picadores, the picadores. And then the bandoleros come and they stick. This sounds cruel, and it is cruel to the animal, but it's part of their culture and part of the bullfighting lore. Bandoleros put darts in the back of the bull. And then finally, as the bull starts to weaken from the loss of blood, the matador comes out and does what the matador did on the screen before you there and finishes him off with the sword. Needless to say, bullfighting is a bloody, gory, messy endeavor. It's a 1,000-pound bull usually in the ring with a very brave young man. But bullfighting, I understand, is being reinvented, being transformed, at least here in America. Now, we don't do bullfighting per se in America because of the unusual and cruel punishment of the animal here. But I'm told that out in Las Vegas, there's a hotel casino that has something called a bloodless bullfight. A bloodless bullfight where, get this, they stick a Velcro pad on the back of the bull, and on the end of the spears and the darts are Velcro tabs so that the bull is not harmed in any way. And it's kind of fascinating. It looks exactly like real bullfighting, but in fact, it's more dangerous. It's more dangerous because the bull doesn't lose blood and become weaker. So the bull is just as strong and just as agile and just as alert and dangerous as the bull is at the beginning. Bullfighting reinvented. A might want to call it a kinder, gentler brush with death, if you will. Nobody's sure whether bloodless bullfighting will catch on or not, but only time will tell because it is so radically different than the traditional bullfighting. Needless to say, bullfighting is dangerous. I don't know if I would want to get into the ring with a 1,000-pound bull and try to take him on. The response would be either flee or fight. Matadors choose to fight. I would be the one to choose flee and climb over the wall to get out of there. And as I thought about bullfighting and I thought about the danger and the attacks of the bull onto the matador and the bandoleros and the picadores, I thought about the dangers, the attacks, and the difficulties of everyday life for the rest of us. Think about those attacks that you have incurred over the last week, 2 weeks, month, this year, whatever. Think about those difficult situations or perhaps difficult people who have, well, attacked you or persecuted you in some way. Bless their heart. I heard that thud. What is our natural response to danger? What is our natural response to attack? We either run away from it or we rear up and we fight. That's a very normal, psychologist will tell you that is, you know, how we respond to fear. We either fight or we flee, don't we? The goal, of course, is self-preservation, to try to take care of ourselves, to protect our families, to protect our children, to protect our friends. We want the offender to pay. We want to retaliate that husband that walked out on you, that boss that fired you, the wife who betrayed you, the drunk driver who took the life of your son or daughter, that investor who embezzled your life savings. What's our reaction? We want to rear up. We want to retaliate. We want revenge, don't we? That's our normal human response. But today, we hear that Jesus reinventing our responses. Jesus is giving us another alternative to personal attacks, to our enemies, to persecution, to adversity. And it's love. Love. This alternative requires just as much courage and bravery as a matador in the ring with a 1,000-pound bull. And we take it on without a sword, not a real sword, but the Word of God, which the Bible tells us is really a double-edged sword, the Word of God. What kind of love is this that Jesus is referring to? You'll recall that we're in the midst of our series on the Sermon on the Mount, those chapters 5, 6, and 7 of Matthew's Gospel, the core teachings of Jesus that began with the Beatitudes. Remember, our syllabus gave us the outline for these sermons. And we're continuing to figure out what Jesus has to teach us with regard to our human relationships. Our relationships. You'll see that these teachings of Jesus don't make a bit of sense and totally contrary to our natural way of thinking, the thinking of the world, if we don't see them through the eyes of the kingdom of God, through the context of the kingdom of God, which is diametrically opposed to the world. And I think Jesus has something to share with us today about a new way of responding to attacks, to difficulties, to people who mean to cause us harm. Listen to what Jesus says here, and I'm again using the Message translation, Eugene Peterson's Message translation. Jesus said, here's another old saying, eye for eye, tooth for tooth. Here's what I propose. Don't hit back at all. If someone strikes you, stand there and take it. Oh, man. Tough. I told you these are tough sayings. These are tough teachings. This isn't Fred Duncan. This is Jesus. Eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. We've heard that all our lives, haven't we? What is that referring to? It is get even. It is if someone does something to you, you are permitted by Mosaic law to go after them in like kind. Today we would call that just punishment, the fitting the punishment to the crime, if you will. In other words, you don't electrocute or put to death through a lethal injection somebody that shoplifts. You get the picture? That's tooth for an eye. Eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. Perfectly permissible under Old Testament law. But Jesus is saying, don't hit back at all. Turn the other cheek is the more traditional translation. Turn the other cheek. Somebody slaps you upside the head. Jesus said, give them the other cheek also. Whew. That's hard, isn't it? That's hard to take. That's hard to accept. But it does demonstrate that you are a follower of the Prince of Peace, who has called us to be peacemakers. Jesus said, don't strike back. This has been the premise for most nonviolent resistance or demonstration. This has been the impetus for conscientious objectors in the military on religious grounds. This is the reason for pacifist movements and whatnot, where we don't take up arms against others. Jesus says, turn the other cheek. Don't hit back. If someone strikes you, stand there and take it. Ouch, Jesus. You don't really mean that, do you? What else does he say? Oh, if someone takes you to court and sues you for the shirt off your back, gift wrap your best coat and give them that too. Yeah. I wonder what Judge Wapner would think of that. Or Judge Judy. Someone sues you, give them not only the shirt on your back, but also your coat as well. In other words, when someone comes begging, give them what they need and then some, Jesus is saying. go beyond, go the extra mile, if you will, to help someone. Because this shows that our security is not in material things, but our security is in God. That's what Jesus is trying to say here. Don't depend upon getting retribution or restitution. God will provide. God has always provided. God will continue to provide. He goes on to say, if someone takes unfair advantage of you, use the occasion to practice the servant life. No more tit for tat, he says. Live generously. Live generously. If someone takes advantage of you, give them even more. Give them even more. Ouch! That hurts. Go the extra mile. Offer more than was demanded, Jesus is saying. This kind of love does not retaliate. This kind of love does not seek revenge or get even. Instead, it seeks the welfare of the person who is our enemy. It seeks the welfare of the other. It is responding with nonviolence, generosity, and help that those people may need. For you don't know, but that person, through your generosity, through your pacifism, through your turning the other cheek, through your peacemaking, may see Christ in you, and you just may lead that person into the kingdom of God, for which you are a child of. That is what Jesus is trying to teach us here. But this makes no sense at all to the world. This makes no sense at all unless we're thinking and looking at it through the context of what the kingdom of God is all about. And that's what Jesus is trying to do in these lessons, is to teach us the way things are in the kingdom of God. And Jesus said the kingdom of God is among you and with you. That's how it is in the realm and reign of God. Enemies are embraced. Enemies are turned into friends. They're not rejected or they're not put to death. You'll recall that incident, and I know I've used it several times, and I know you're familiar with it, the Nickel Mine school where the children were shot by a guy walked in and killed several children, I don't know how many, and what was the response of the community? Of course, they grieved the loss of those children, but they also forgave the young man who was troubled, came from a very troubled household, came from a very troubled family, and that Amish community is working with him and working with his parents and his family as a sign of forgiveness. That has been the most recent and clear example of what Jesus is saying here today. Turn the other cheek. Love your enemies. Mahatma Gandhi, the great leader back in the 50s and 60s of India, led a nonviolent protest movement. And he had great admiration, although he was not a Christian, he had great admiration for Jesus' teachings on the Sermon on the Mount. And he used those as part of his eclectic way of pulling from different traditions and different faiths, the peaceful, nonviolent way of changing the world, changing the situation in his country, which led eventually, by the way, to independence for India from the empire and colonialism of England. Jesus goes on to say, you're familiar with the old law, love your friend, but I'm challenging that, he says. I'm telling you to love your enemies. Love your enemies. Who are our enemies? Who are those people, like we shared with the children today, who speak ill of you, who want to destroy you? Those people who gossip about you. Those people who have nothing nice to say about you. Those people who want to see you fail. Who are those people that attack you? Jesus says, love them. Love them. And Bishop Matthews once said, love the hell out of them. Love the hell out of them.